Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Suryoday Small Finance Bank Q4 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Aisha. Hello and welcome to Q4 FY21 earnings conference call of Suryoday Small Finance Bank. We have with us today Mr. Bhaskar Babu, MD and CEO, Mr. Bhavin Damania, CFO, Mr. Narayan Rao, Chief Service Officer, Mrs. Radhika Gawde, VP Finance, Mr. Chintan Shah, Investor Relations, and along with him, we have Amit Singh from Investor Relations. I will now request Bhaskar sir to take us through the opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Renish. Good evening, everybody, for our maiden earnings call post-listing. I hope that all of you and your loved ones are safe and well. The year that went by was extraordinary and a challenging year not only for us but for the entire industry. After the events of health and economic loss, there was hope with the introduction of vaccine and gradual opening up of the economy. Similarly, on the business front, we are back on the recovery path in Q3 FY21, and we ended the fourth quarter with a very strong performance. Although the uncertainty continues with the second wave hitting us harder than other countries, we continue to work towards a state of normalcy in partnership with all our employees, customers, and stakeholders of the bank. As on date, 667 of our colleagues were infected with COVID, and the good news is that 508 of them have recovered fully, and unfortunately, we lost two of our colleagues due to the pandemic. The rest of them are recovering well. Although disheartening, we continue to brave through the second wave. Local lockdowns have impacted the recovery, which was shaping up well till Q4 of the last year. Due to uncertainty created by the second wave, we will have to wait for a couple of months to understand the real incidental impact on our businesses. Suryoday has been proactive in managing and mitigating the risks to our employees. During the year, we sufficiently increased the health insurance cover through COVID Kavach, a separate COVID insurance policy, and we also have an adequate health insurance policy for covering our employees and their family members. We are engaging with employees to ensure that their and their family's well-being is taken care of, and specifically in terms of any financial support that is really required on account of hospitalization or other medical expenses. We trust that the mass vaccination program introduced and our own efforts to vaccinate our employees will prove to be sufficient, reasonably sufficient, in terms of mitigating the health crisis for our employees and their family members. I hope all of you have received our investor presentation and had the chance to go through it before the call. I will, however, give a brief highlight of our performance for the quarter and the year that went by. On the business performance, so we disbursed 2,217 crores during the last year compared to 3,090 crores during the FY20, mainly due to a near-nil disbursement in the first half of the last financial year. The quarter ending March 21 recorded the highest quarterly disbursement of 1,058 crores compared to 777 crores in the same quarter of last year. We disbursed ECLGS loans worth 95.2 crores during the financial year. Our collection efficiency on a one EMI basis adjusted as of end of March was 87% for the month and has consistently improved over the last two quarters. Overall collection efficiency in March, including prepayments, was 121%. One EMI restricted collection efficiency in the inclusive finance business as of March 31st was 85% and improving from 81% as of December 20. Whereas in commercial vehicle, home loan and secured business loan products, the collection efficiency was 93%, 96% and 89% respectively, compared to 89%, 94% and 88% respectively for the quarter ending December 2020. Paying POS, that is the paying customers though they are delinquent, in the PAR 1 plus bucket was closer to 70%. Collection efficiency is likely to be volatile in the Q1 of this current financial year due to intermittent lockdowns in various states. In terms of our asset quality, our gross NPA was 9.4% as of 31st March 2021 compared to pro forma gross NPA of 9.3% as of 31st December 2020, which was 2.8% as of 31st March 2020. Net NPA as of 31st March was 4.7% as compared to the pro forma net NPA of 5.4% as of December 2020. The 1 plus DPD portfolio as of 31st March reduced to 20.7% from 28.5% as of 31st December 2020. The bank has done one-time restructuring of customers comprising of 3.3% of our advances as of 31st March. The bank charged 169.2 crores as total provisions during the financial year. The provision coverage ratio as of 31st March was 63.9%. The bank fully utilized the COVID provision reserve of 140 crores, which includes COVID provision of 66 crores created during the previous financial year. Our bank increased the floating provision on microfinance portfolio from 2% to 3.5% in March 2021. This totaled to a floating provision of 91 crores as of 31st March 2021, which is fully unutilized. For the period ended 31st December 2021, the bank has made provision for interest reversal on pro forma NPA as against reversal from interest income for the year 31st March 2021, and hence the impact on P&L is incremental to the extent of interest reversal for the Q4 of rupees 72 crores. Net interest income for the full year fell 16% year-on-year to 411 crores. The fall in NIA for the year was primarily on account of interest reversal in NPA, impact of negative carry on the significant excess liquidity which we maintained during the entire year, and lower disbursement due to uncertainty relating to COVID during the last year. The profit after tax for the full year fell 89% year-on-year to 11.9 crores as compared to FY20, primarily due to additional provisioning on increased NPA, increase in floating provision from 2 to 3.5%, which is an additional of 37.5 crores. Floating provision was built up primarily due to the uncertainty relating to the second wave of COVID-19 and lower disbursement during FY21. Cost-to-income ratio increased to 64.4% as compared to 47.1% for the previous financial year. This was higher on account of interest reversal on increased NPA and significant negative carry on account of excess liquidity that we maintained throughout the year. On the advances front, our gross loan portfolio grew 13% to 4,206 crores in the financial year as compared to 3,900 crores in the previous financial year. The bank ended with the year with total customer base of 14.7 lakh customers, of which asset customers were 13.3 lakhs, whereas liability customers were 6.3 lakhs. There was an overlap of 4.9 lakh customers between asset and liability products. In our main inclusive finance business, the gross loan portfolio grew by 3.9% year-on-year to 2,923 crores in the financial year. Suryoday achieved the highest quarterly disbursement in this business segment in Q4, disbursing 865 crores in the last quarter. This included a disbursement of 54.4 crores under the ECLGS scheme for the customer segment in inclusive finance. Collection efficiency improved significantly in the segment during the last quarter. In the month of March, collection efficiency improved to 85% from 81% in the month of December 2020. The gross NPA in the inclusive finance business was 10.1% as of 31st March. This was after excluding the restructured portfolio of 3.6% of the JLG book. The bank disbursed 1,503 ECLGS loans amounting to 74.6 crores during the financial year in the inclusive finance business segment. The ex gratia scheme of the Government of India for interest on interest was implemented by bank wherever applicable. We launched a overdraft product called Smile Overdraft product for our inclusive finance customer during the financial year to meet the working capital needs. This was a one-click product wherein customers were onboarded completely digitally, making real-time opening of bank account possible. As of 31st March, the limit set up for this customer segment was 365 crores for 3.8 lakh of our inclusive finance customer, of which utilization was approximately 135 crores. Which is 37% compared to 33% as of December 2020. We increased our presence in the affordable home loan segment. We made meaningful progress and our gross loan portfolio increased 71.9% year-on-year to 311 crores during the financial year. We achieved the highest quarterly disbursement in this business as well during the last quarter by 72.8 crores. Our collection efficiency continued to improve during the last quarter. In the month of March, collection efficiency improved to 96% from 94% in the month of December 2020. We are continuously monitoring gross NPA in this particular segment. The GNPA in home loan segment was 4.2% as of 31st March. In our commercial vehicle business, the segment continued to remain under stress due to various market environmental factors. We took a strategic call to focus on the small ticket OD product for the commercial vehicle segment, extending working capital to customers and building relationship with them. The gross loan portfolio in this segment, however, fell 4.6% to 353.4 crores overall. The bank had set up 798 accounts with 56% utilization in the working capital segment. The bank aims at deepening its relationship with these customers and capitalize on the business opportunity afforded by working capital for mid-sized fleet operators. The gross NPA in this segment was at 12.8% as of 31st March 2021. Our secured business loan product, predominantly secured by immovable assets, grew strongly by 49.3% to 158 crores during the financial year. The bank disbursed 27.4 crores in this segment during the last quarter. Disbursement in this business were made in a calibrated manner with a clear focus on higher credit profile customers prior to disbursement owing to increased stress in the market environment in this product. Collection efficiency segment remained strong during the quarter. In the month of March, collection efficiency improved to 89% from 88% in the month of December 2020. Collection efficiency in the new secured business loan in the month of March 21 was 95% as compared to 96% in the month of December. New secured business loan portfolio constitutes 90% of the overall secured business loan portfolio. Gross NPA in the segment was 7.4%, which was predominantly due to the small ticket LAP portfolio which we did previously. The gross GNPA in the new SBL portfolio is 2.2%, which comprises 90% of the overall secured business loan portfolio. On the deposits and borrowings, we ended the FY21 with a total of 96 liability-focused branches as of 31st March, adding 5 liability-focused branches during the year. Since the onset of the company as a bank, the focus was to create a substantially granular deposit franchise, starting with granular deposit franchise in terms of the term deposit and subsequently focusing on CASA, specifically in the SA segment. As of March 21, our retail deposits form 80% of the total deposits as compared to 54.4% as of the previous financial year. Most of our bulk deposits, however, are non-premature in nature. This gives us significant certainty on the duration of our liabilities, helping us manage our ALM better. As of March 21, 91% of our bulk deposits, that is deposits about 2 crores, are non-callable in nature. Our CASA grew to 15.4% as of March 31, 2021, as compared to 13.3% as of December 2020 and 11.4% as of 31st March 2020. We continue to focus on investing in our CASA growth, which is likely to grow at a stable but sustained pace. During the year, our cost of deposits fell 57 basis points year-on-year to 7.7% from 8.3% in the previous financial year. Our overall cost of funds fell by 59 basis points to 8% from 8.6% in FY20. As of 31st March, our borrowings formed 24.8% of the total liabilities. The majority of the total borrowings, approximately 92%, were from long-term refinancing institutions like SIDBI and NABARD. We are very well capitalized and we continue to maintain high capitalization levels. We ended the year with a capital adequacy ratio of 51.5%, with Tier 1 comprising of 47.2 and Tier 2 comprising 4.2. We successfully got listed on both NSE and BSE on 26th of March 2021. Through the public issue, the bank raised primary capital of 248 crores. In the last week of February, we also successfully completed a pre-IPO round of 152 crores. The total equity infusion in the bank during the financial year FY21 was 522 crores. On the other updates, during the financial year FY21, the bank added a net additional manpower of 436 people and the total number of employee strength as of 31st March was 5,131. Our total branch count as of 31st March was 556 as compared to 477 branches as of 31st March 2020. During the financial year ended 31st March 2021, the bank launched various new initiatives such as small overdraft facilities for microfinance customers, what we term as Smile OD, increased focus on overdraft product for commercial vehicle segment, implementation of government scheme of Mudra subvention, ex gratia, and ECLJ segment, including in the inclusive finance segment, and various digital initiatives enabling us to give our customers curated solutions. Although we had a very tough year, We continue to remain focused on the core of our business. We achieved the milestone of getting publicly listed as per regulatory requirements and, as I mentioned, raised closer to 520 crores in times of uncertainty, which shows confidence in the long-term structure of our bank as a bank of inclusive finance customers. With this, I close my remarks and request for any questions. Thank you. Over to you, Rinesh.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets for asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue is ready. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The first question is from the line of Deepak Agarwal from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, Deepak.
Yes. Sir, wanted to understand now, considering we are into the second wave, what have been the trends in the month of April and May in terms of the collection efficiency, and how should we look at credit costs for FY22, sir, from here?
In April, our collection efficiency came down from 87%, which was recorded in March 21, to 80%. There was a marginal reduction of 7%. And as we see the trend in May, it looks more to be in terms of contact issue. Currently at around closer to 65% is what we are running in terms of our collection efficiency. In terms of the non-inclusive finance segment, collections will be closer to what we saw in April, marginally down. But however, I think in inclusive finance segment, which is more of a contact of collecting the installment, it is likely to be down by closer to 10 to 12% as compared to the previous month, which is April.
And so in terms of credit costs for the full year now, what kind of credit costs should we work with, sir, considering some stress might come in the second year?
I think the wave one took all of us by shock. I think what is during this year, in terms of even intermittent lockdowns and in terms of customer touch, to a couple of learnings has been in terms of continuing to be in touch with the customer in a meaningful manner without really kind of creating a stress at collection at any cost, seem to have really helped in managing the relationship. While the impact of the second wave is not fully known, but likely that as it opens up slowly, the focus of the bank has been to continuously be in touch with the customer. That's why what we are seeing is a 10 to 12% reduction compared to April in a severely impacted month like this, where there is very strict lockdowns in some states like Tamil Nadu, Madhya Pradesh, and also in many parts of Maharashtra. We do believe that the big question is in terms of if and when we start kind of opening up in the month of June at various kind of weeks towards the end. It may really come to what we saw during March. However, it is really, really too early, Deepak, at this point of time to kind of cite out anything. But I think the focus is in terms of keeping in touch with the customer. It does not really seem to have an intentional default. It seems to be more circumstantial. In a way, we'll have to summarize, it's more of a timing in terms of delayed repayments, rather than in terms of substantial deterioration, if things were to come back to the kind of the near normal opening up in the next one month.
Got it. And so you, what we did is essentially standard asset provisioning, which used to be 2% earlier on the portfolio level, we increased to 3.5% in Q4, right? That is what, so in the entire portfolio, this 91 crores is the 3.5% standard asset provisioning. And we have used all the COVID-related provisions till date provided. So the provision we carry right now is this 3.5% only on the books, right?
I request Bhavin to answer.
Yeah, so you are right. So we have utilized the COVID provision, and this is entirely gone against the NPA provisioning we have done during the year. And you are right, on the 3.5% we are carrying as of March. And this is a one-time additional impact. We have taken 1.5%. So 3.5% of the book right now of the microfinance is covered with the floating provision. So it's not standard asset, it's a floating provision.
Okay. So we will be able to use it in FY 2022, depending on how the stress moves and some part of this floating we will be able to draw down, right? Because once it goes in standard asset provisioning, then it becomes difficult to draw it down, right? Is that the way to see?
Yes, absolutely. That's the reason why we made floating provision.
Okay. Got it. So this another question I had was now in terms of growth. I understand obviously last 2 months has been difficult for everyone. But how should we look at growth, sir, from here? Is it like we'll grow closer to the system level growth, whatever it is between 5%-10%? Or do you expect we will be in the double digits in terms of loan growth?
See, the credit requirement for this segment is intact. As things really start opening up, the lower income households, specifically the small business segment, usually bounces back little faster because there is not much of a capital loss which would have happened during the lockdown period. Given that, the demand for credit as things open up will be very robust. And we entirely during the last year focused only in terms of our existing customers and introduced a small ticket OD product or Smile product. And what we see there is that I think the stickiness with the customer and the customer's comfort that the credit access is available is probably driving a different behavior, unlike what we saw in the past. Earlier, the 30+ bucket will tend to kind of move forward substantially to 60, 60 to 90, and hence to credit loss. What we are seeing is that customer intermittently paying 1 out of 2 installments. That is how what we saw during as of March end was 76% of our delinquent customers were making at least 1 installment payment if you count the month of February and March. So if that trend were to be taken as an extrapolated one, it will be more of a timing than in terms of a complete default on account of the customers stopping to kind of delaying the installment payment. So very hard to really kind of put a number, Deepak, at this point of time, but how it opens up. But the customer, we have 14.5 lakh customers of which we size back, and we kind of realize that there are 1 lakh customers plus who are excellent in terms of who have not even taken a borrowing either from us or mainly from market and have paid all installments in time and remain in current bucket. So given that, if things look open up, the growth may be much better than probably what you're contemplating at this point of time.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNP Securities. Please go ahead. Jay, your line is in talk mode. You can go ahead, please. Please would request you to unmute yourself if you just have the handset. As there is no response, the next question is from the line of Nikhil Valecha, SBI Life. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, I just want a clarity on slide number 27. It's mentioned that 76.5% of our delinquent customers are paying us over 2 months. So these 2 months are April and May, or I mean, can you clarify this?
February and March.
Okay. Can you tell this number for April and May? Obviously, May almost is done, but if you still have that number.
See, overall, I think if you have to take the trend in terms of the payment itself is down. It was from 87, it was 80, and 80 likely to be very close to probably say 67 to even at the top end, maybe not 70. So if you look at 87 to 20, 20% down, likely that I don't have the exact number, but I would say that probably it will be 50%.
So 50% of the delinquent customers would be paying.
Would have paid at least 1 installment. I mean, this, I'm just hazarding a guess, but probably now we'll kind of get the exact number, but it is likely that it will be 1 out of the 2 installments of either April or May.
So, given the situation is still, I mean, uncertain and lockdown still persists, I mean, do you think this pool of 15% odd, that is SMA 1 to 90, is it fair to assume that a 50% of this would either get slipped or get restructured in Q1 based on the collection behavior right now? Because it's very highly unlikely that they will be able to pay two EMIs in the month of June and regularize.
Which is true. So that now that the restructuring option is available, we'll have to kind of take it to the customers as kind of as needed. But the thing is, as I said, is more in terms of a timing. It will not be possible to kind of collect from the customers just because they skipped one, collect both the installments. The intent would be to kind of keep it going, but at least collecting one installment at a time.
Yeah. Got it, sir. And just operationally, you had mentioned that you are not doing any physical collection as of now. But what is the customer response? Like, if you can tell, like, is their business still fully functional and it's still like 50-60% normal and they will be able to pay the installment, or the business is shut down? So just wanted to have a qualitative factor, like how many of the customers would be able to run at efficiency of 60-70% odd and would be able to make the payments.
See, the impact is different in different places. In Mumbai, it was very, very severe in phase one. But what we really see in lockdown two, it isn't that bad as it was in lockdown one. It was complete kind of a choking off the train services and people are kind of probably taken by shock. This time, what we are seeing in states like Karnataka, it is far more severe. So, and this is the first time probably they are kind of encountering this, which was not the case as far as phase one was concerned. So then, if you have to kind of extrapolate the experience in states which went through heavy lockdown during phase one, which is Maharashtra, customers do come back. What percentage depends on market to market, but yeah, if you have to kind of go by the trend, around 76% of the customer end up paying, and of which that mainly what we are talking about is in from 31 to 60 upwards. 1 to 30, anyway, one installment they have paid in the last 2 months. So if you just look at that segment, which is kind of, in 31 plus, itself was 76% as of March.
Okay. And have you availed any ECLGS 3.0? Have you given any ECLGS 3.0 to any of your customers, or have they asked for it?
Yeah. So we are in the process of disbursing those ECLGS 3.0 to the customers. So as a timeline extended to June, so there will be some loans which will be given. So as of now, we are in the process of sanctioning as per the customer request.
Okay. And just final question is, the accounts which are currently restructured, obviously, I mean, they must be stressed account. So will you increase the tenure of these restructured accounts, or do you think they would be able to pay in a normal way and they will not need any fresh capital, and so they would be not slip into NPA?
See, the behavior of the customer when they kind of are in a delinquency is a little different than when they come in under current. So what the trend we have seen is in terms of this restructured accounts are not the ones who have not been making payments at all. So they've been making, say, payment once in 2 months and they were in the 60 bucket or in 30 bucket. You give them a 2 month moratorium, 1 month moratorium, and then it continues. Mostly it is not a substantial elongation considering the door to door of all the loans in inclusive finance is not more than 2 years predominantly. Except for a very few segment called what we call as Vikas loan, that it is more than 2 years. Most of the loans are 2 year tenors. So the extension, more than the extension, it will be a 1 to 2 months of moratorium, which will kind of extend the tenor by 2 months exactly, 2 to 3 months max.
And just final thing is, just wanted to understand from the accounting perspective, as you said that you will be giving 2 months of moratorium to these customers, the interest component of that, how will you, so that hit you will take in Q1 itself, or it will be spread out? Because I'm not clear how the interest part will work.
Yeah. See, in a microfinance segment, we never charge overdue interest. This is an industry-wide practice we follow. So following by that, and obviously by elongating the tenor, the hit will be taken, I would say, over the period, not only in the Q1. But as I said, the restructured book itself is not that large. It's nearly 2% of the entire book. So the impact on the P&L because of the restructured book will not be that large.
Oh, thank you. That's it for my question.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the detailed presentation that you have put in. My question is, sir, I have a couple of questions. First is on ECLGS loan. So it looks like you have disbursed around 100 crores total ECLGS, within which 75 crores in inclusive banking, of which 21 crores have already turned NPA. Right? So I just wanted to understand the reason for such quick NPA in this book. Is there any particular reason or what actually happened here?
I'll let Bhavin do kind of answer that, but broadly it is not the ECLGS loans per se have turned delinquent. It is the tagging of these loans happens because of the other loan which the customer is running in parallel would have touched 90 plus. As you would see in the other chart where we have published, our gross NPA is not 90 plus. We have 393 crores of gross NPA recognized as of 31st March, which means the customer's account touched 90 plus DPD at one point. But nevertheless, at the end of March, it is 244 crores of accounts, principal outstanding worth of accounts are in the 90 plus. So if that were to be part of the 393 crores and the accounts were tagged as in gross NPA, the ECLGS loan also get tagged as a NPA. But otherwise, no, in the ECLGS loans per se, what you are given, I don't think the NPA is anything very, very marginal. Oh, Bhavin, to kind of answer.
Yeah. So as Bhaskar rightly said, I think it will be in a few lakhs rupees, I would say. The ECLGS loan itself will be called. It's mainly because of the cross-provisioning requirement of the RBI, we have to tag them as the NPA.
It's 0.2% is the ECLGS loans which are per se in 90 plus.
So that even for, let's say, you are saying that the NPA has been done at borrower level, the facility is okay, right? Now, even if that is the case, the exposure was 100 and on then you have given 20 rupees and the borrower also had a facility, right? Other facility which they were running, wherein they are defaulted. But I think 20% additional money in one facility would have been good enough to at least keep him standard for, you know, because I think you would have disbursed only last quarter. Right, and in one quarter it has gone bad. I mean, is it that? It looks slightly unusual that even if a person has got 20 rupees extra, he has not been able to pay, let's say, 2 months EMI. I mean, otherwise he would have survived at least one more quarter, right? Or there is something else.
The loan what we give is on the principal outstanding as of 29th of February. Let's assume that the customer has taken a 40,000 rupees loan and the loan outstanding as of 29th February was only 12,000 rupees and we can give only 20% not on the original disbursement but on the 12,000 which is 2,400, which probably is equal to 1 to 2 installments at max. And it is also possible that even before we gave, the customer could have touched this 90 plus, I don't have the exact number, Bhavan can clarify, and hence we had to post the RBI announcement on 24th of March. We had to tag not only 90 plus customers as on the date, but also customer which touched 90 plus during that interim period. And if they have touched and that got classified as gross NPA, this loan which are given also gets tagged as gross NPA. Otherwise, per se on the ECLGS loans we are given, understand that 0.2% of the loans are in 90 plus as of 31st March.
Just to clarify, not only the last quarter we have ECLGS, this is started from the beginning of the quarter three. So it's not only the last quarter we have discussed.
Sure. Second thing is, sir, on your write-off, right? So it looks like you have done on the inclusive financing book, you have done 97 crores write-off, which is only 3.3% on, 3% around. Now, considering the loss of the GNPA and the PAR book that you still have, the write-off amount is slightly on the lower side. Is it because, as you have said, that quite a few NPAs now below 90 DPD, but still NPA? Is that the reason, or why is the write-off policy slightly appears liberal? I mean, you have capital, you have why not write off aggressively?
Two reasons. One, the write-offs which would have happened do not necessarily pertain to accounts which has become turned NPA because of the COVID. We had the gross NPA as of 31st March 2020, and those are the predominant accounts where, in spite of the efforts, where we are not comfortable that we will be able to collect and will tend to be a credit loss or written off. And the rest of it, as long as they really, again, as I said again, 76% of the customer who are in 30 plus are continuing to pay. As long as the payment is really coming in, even if it is skipped one out of one installment, and even if they are in 90 plus, I think around closer to around 25% of our customers, even in 90 plus, are paying. So as long as they are paying, we are kind of reasonably confident with the time lag, we'll be able to kind of record the money, and hopefully the customers will come back to normalcy.
Right. So, and sir, if you can broadly explain what is your write-off policy and provisioning policy once an account turns NPA, within how many, I mean, within how much month you provide 100% for MFI loan?
So we do not have a specific write-off policy like you see in other companies, 180 plus or 365 plus. Only when we are satisfied that the amount is not recoverable based on our business efforts, then only we do the write-off. Generally, we do write-off only after the 365 days. We have never taken a call of writing off below 365 days, except for the current year, very small amount of out of 78 crores of write-off in microfinance, only around 16 crores is pertaining to the current year. Otherwise, the entire amount is pertaining to the more than 1 year NPA kind of accounts. So don't note there was specific policy, but on a prudent basis, we take a call over a period.
You do provisioning aggressively, but we don't write it off aggressively quickly at that, in spite of our capital.
So what is the provisioning policy on MFI once it turns NPA?
So as of now, so over and above the RBI, we make this floating provision. So at any point in time, you have seen in the last three financial years, including current one, that we have been making 2% as our microfinance portfolio as a floating provision at any point in time, which will include 3.5%. And on a case-to-case basis, where there's a natural calamity, etc., then those specific cases we make an additional provision up to 100%.
And the last question, sir, from my side is on the accounting treatment. So let's say, as you have given slide 27, right, which shows the 90% 90 DPD plus, and there are few people who are still paying, right? So let's say a customer who is 120 DPD and she pays one installment, she still remains NPA. What happens to the money that she is paying? Does it go in recovery, or how does it work?
Yeah, so unless the customer is written off, it will go fully towards the recovery, directly hitting the entire amount in P&L. Otherwise, it's based on the cash basis of accounting, where we recognize interest of the whatever EMI portion she has paid. Interest in the principal portion, in the ratio of the EMI.
And if you can share the movement of NPA, if you have, or other, it's also okay to, if you can share the addition and the reduction, either through upgrade recovery and write-off. Write-off, I think you have given, but if you have the full year slippages, full year recovery, upgrade and write-off.
I think you will find that in detail in our final statement when we publish, because that will be long list of it, but just as a reference, so we have total 398 crores of addition during the year. Okay, and after making provisions and some sort of recovery of the opening NPA, I'm not considering the current year's NPA, of the opening NPA for write-off, we are on 10 crores of opening NPA write-off recovery, and balance we have provided, and the remaining is 180 crores, which is net NPA.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rajesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I joined in there. I would just like to know, what is Smile OD?
Sir, it is a very small ticket OD given for our existing inclusive finance customer, for a value between 5,000 to 20,000 for our existing well-paying customers. While our majority of the microfinance customers have access to term loan, historically we have seen that they have access only when the entire group is ready, or it is given at one point, they are allowed to draw out that money. But the customer's requirement may be for 5,000 rupees, and the term loan which is being offered is 20,000 to 30,000. So the customers end up taking the money, while they may not have an entire use for it at that point of time. and they may have a surplus up to 15 days, but they will not be able to repay over and above the EMI. They will restrict themselves only to one EMI. So we introduced this. This has been a product in design for very long. During this pandemic, we realized that the customers are not requiring credit, but they wanted access to credit. So we did it all on a one-click basis. Set up
what would be our delinquency for it?
In the Smile OD?
Yes.
Around 10%, sir. I don't know what they
okay.
Around 10%.
The other thing which I was unable to understand is our NPA in the retail assets were very high and yields were very still low compared to our peers. So being 3 years into this business, I could not understand what's going wrong for us.
In which segments specifically, except for commercial?
Retail. So overall retail as a sector, NPA was very high.
See, in terms of home loan, our collection continues to be around 96%, which is affordable home loan average ticket is of around 10 lakhs. In secured business loan, earlier when we started with a small ticket loan against property, which is kind of understood in the beginning itself that it has to be collection intensive. It is almost like an inclusive finance. You need to have that.
But within retail, where are the, which sector is contributing to highest NPA then?
Commercial vehicles, sir.
Okay. So any reason, overall sector is into stress,
yes.
But what are our collection efficiencies into this then?
Yeah, so our collection efficiency in commercial vehicle has been gone up to nearly 86% in the month of the March. And currently trending, even in the month of the April, we are on 84% of the collection efficiency.
93% in March was our collection efficiency.
In the month of April and May, how much percent would be lower than the March number?
So April, we can tell, April was 84%. May is still yet to get over, so I think it will be pretty early because most of the collection also happens during the end of the month as well.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We would refer the participants to please press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sakhare from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So across the different measures that we have to kind of deal with stressed accounts, which is across ECLGS, restructured, or some form of OD, how do we identify, you know, which product or which facility to offer to which kind of customer?
The ECLGS, one of the primary conditions has to be at the time of sanction and at the time of disbursement, customer should not be NPA. So that becomes a selective pattern, and we have kind of pre-approved closer to around 500 crores of ECLGS. Utilization is only 9900 crores at this point of time. So any of those customers we have to take, and I think we are one of the very few banks where we offered ECLGS to our existing customers in inclusive finance segment. They are very small ticket and hence had to be done substantially out of a digital flow. Not all the customers we have pre-approved have utilized ECLGS, including in the inclusive finance segment. Smile OD, we have set up around closer to 3.5 lakh customers, 3.8 lakhs customers, and set up a limit of around closer to 300 crores. The utilization happens to be at around less than 50%, at around probably around 150 crores. These are the customers who have been with us for minimum of a year and who kind of paid well. And while we set up a limit, it's up to them to utilize when they want and they repay when they want. The minimum amount, in the sense, flexibly. The minimum amount we collect on this Smile OD account is 250 rupees if the amount drawn is less than 5,000 rupees. And if it is more than 5,000 rupees, 500 rupees is the minimum repayment they have to make on a monthly basis.
These are fresh loan accounts. So the collection happens through the group lending mechanism, or there's some other way we sort of pull money from those accounts?
This is only for existing customers. Smile OD is not given as a standalone product. This is after the customer kind of approve their repayment for a period of 1 year. We set up these limits.
But the repayments happen in the group model itself,
yes.
Usual MFI collection.
As of now, that is how it is happening. Increasingly, the intent is to really have that collected. Since the primary operative principle, obviously, is that to give us Smile OD, they need to have a bank account with us. And once we kind of set up a bank account, and then we set up a OD limit on that. At some point, the way in which we are really seeing the digital transformation happening, at the customer household level, probably they have gone financially digital, but the customer per se has not. So that transition can happen at point of time. When that happens, the intent is to use this platform so the customer can make their payment digitally without us really getting in touch. I think that's, I think, one of the key learnings of the pandemic. And also we are increasing our footprint in terms of customer service point CSPs. As we really expand that, customers should be able to walk in into any of the CSPs and make the repayments or withdraw the money in the Smileway account. That would be the kind of, you know, mid-state of the journey.
And the ECL accounts are at like close to 9% in terms of interest rates, but still the take-up is not very high, you think?
Yes, because they're too small in size, because only 20% of the principal outstanding as of February, and the average ticket principal outstanding for a customer is around 20,000. So the, by and large, the limit is around 4 to 5,000. And given that, I think the traction is not very high.
Got it. And just some comments on, the performance of loans where the fresh disbursements happened only in, let's say, February or March this year. How's been the collections on those loans, let's say, in April and May?
Fresh disbursement started from September of last year, over the last 7 months. And the performance on that, I think we have not discussed separately, but I can broadly tell you that it is around close to 98%, which constitutes approximately 52% of our book.
No, I was asking about, say, loan accounts. See, bulk of the disbursements happened in the fourth quarter, which has been the trend for the industry as well. But on these fresh disbursements, where the customer is now sitting with much higher loan amounts, whether the repayments on those customers has been any different compared to the rest of the customers in April or May this year?
So, only thing we can tell is because, you know, on the overall book basis, as Bhaskar mentioned earlier, so our collection efficiency has been trending around 65 to 70% across the various states, which is including the, all the loans put together. But I think what we are seeing is the major stress is only coming from the already delinquent portfolio as of the March. So we don't have the exact number at this point in time, but we can tell that it's majorly from the delinquent portfolio.
I would just like to add that, you know, on our sort of, you know, current portfolio, and like what you rightly mentioned, you know, these book have been, the February and March book, which has been recently created, we are trending even in this month at about nearly 80% of collection efficiency on that particular book. So like what Bhavan just mentioned, the stress, of course, can be seen from the delinquent portfolio, but the newer book which has been created, which is usually the current book, has trended at about 80% collection efficiency this month.
Yeah.
This month.
Till now.
Yeah, till now.
Got it. And how are the collections happening, like door-to-door or through some other means, digital or any other way?
No, it's not very high on the digital front. So it's kind of more doorstep banking. And that is what got severely impacted in two states in the last 2 months, which is Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, which is where we see a drop in collection efficiency.
Got it. And last question is, the floating provisions is reduced from the NPLs when calculating net NPLs, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We would refer to participants to please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pranav Vijay from the Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible, first of all?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, sir, my first question is regarding the total stress that we have in the book. And sorry if my calculations, let's say, it turns out to be wrong. So, we have a PAR 90 book of roughly 6.5%. We have a restructured book of 3.5%. And we have a net NPA book of around 4.7%. So, approximately 15% of the total book, or approximately 600 crores of the book, is under stress. Is that number right or wrong, first of all?
No, so I think there's overlap between the net NPA and that we mentioned. So the current book under stress, you can say the 188 crores, which is the net NPA, and you are adding up 3.3%, but the total restructuring is around, of the standard book, is around 2.6% of entire portfolio we have done, including the retail asset restructuring. So it's not the entire stress which is saying 600 crores.
Okay. So, sir, if you can just help me with the, whatever that you have, the overlap, what would be the total stress book?
Yeah, so...
Apart from 100 crores of year and net NPA?
Yeah. So maybe I can refer to the same slide we are referring to. So 244 crores is a 90 plus we have shown, which is actually the stress book at the end of the March. The differential customers, we are not calling it as a stress. There would be some stress, but not a real stress, because they would have paid something by the end of the month, and hence they are not taking above 90 plus. So actual stress book around 244 crores at the end of the March was there.
Sure. And against that, we are holding 91 crores of floating provisions.
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Okay. My second question would be, sir, so now in this quarter, I would say quarter one and in quarter two as well, so we are carrying excess liquidity on our book. So I believe that, I don't have the number in terms of the resolution that you did in the month of April, but assume that let's say quarter one turns out to be not as good as last quarter was, and you continue to carry the excess liquidity that you have on your books. So apart from the 65 crores interest reversal that you took in quarter four, quarter one P&L should look more or less similar to quarter four. Would that be, so apart from, so I would say till at least PPOP, your provisions, depending upon the situation, you will take a call. But till PPOP, number should, should more or less look similar. Would that be a very, safe assumption to make or not?
While I'll not kind of grade you in terms of what the pre-pop will be at this point of time, what we kind of intend to do with the substantial excess liquidity which you carried, which has a strategy of fortress balance sheet, both high capital and high liquidity as you pass through. In hindsight, it looks like we can kind of carried much more excess liquidity than probably was required. But that, I think, was what we wanted to do as we entered the pandemic and as we were coming out reasonably well. If I had continued our trend in terms of disbursement, which we did in the month of March, February, March, and around that, which is approximately between 300 to 400 crores, we would have drained out all the excess liquidity in the first quarter, which, as you rightly said, given that business environment now, it may be now difficult, and hence we will kind of explore options, including in terms of prepayment of some of the refinance which we have taken, if there is a possibility. Otherwise, it should. We will wait out for a clarity as the business picks up without increasing our liquidity further through any other modes. The focus will be in terms of deployment. And as you know, the interest cost on these excess liquidity is already absorbed into the P&L.
Yeah, and just to add also, our excess liquidity, which I was saying, also includes the money we have received through the IPO and the pre-IPO. So around 400 crores we have received it. Plus, also the cost of the excess liquidity has been reducing now because we have been able to draw down the borrowing from the refinance institutions at a much lower cost than what we used to do at our pre-COVID levels.
Correct. So, sir, you mentioned that you disburse approximately 300 to 400 crores per month, kind of a number. What would be a repayment that we collect from the customers per month?
So, we have a principal repayment of around 230 crores to 240 crores, that kind of range, depending on what kind of disbursement we do in the previous month. Yeah, that's a number.
So we add approximately, let's say, 150 crore kind of a net number every month.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramesh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, just a couple of questions. So one is on this, on our yield. I mean, I'm referring to our slide number 40, wherein our incremental disbursement yield is roughly 24%, but wherein our year-end yield is lower. So we have increased our rate in Q3, Q4.
So, Ramesh, just to answer, so it's impact of a couple of things. One is the interest reversal, which we have done on the interest income. That's why there's an impact. And also, we have not written off a significant portfolio, I would say that. And hence, the non-earning portfolio is also sitting into the denominator. So, the impact on the numerator and denominator both is picking up. Hence, you will see a reduction in the yield for the FY21. So, we just want to try to say that we have not reduced the rates so that there's a dip in the yield. But we have been offering some kind of a product which are at a lower rate, so the top-up loans earlier we used to offer and Smile loan which are at a lower rate. But real impact of that is not coming into the overall yield of the portfolio. So it's majorly impact of the interest reversals and the denominator impact of non-earning effect.
Also on the inclusive finance loans, what we kind of gave a moratorium, we did not retain the same IRR. We gave the benefit to the customer, and also there was a reduction in IRR. And the, as an inclusive finance segment, the overdue which is there from the customer, we collected approximately closer to 250 crores. We don't charge any interest. Not only penal interest, we don't charge any interest. We just collect the amount which is overdue. So that on a base of around 4,000 crores is approximately around 5 to 6% of the portfolio, which technically is zero earning. If you kind of know, if you put a normal retail product, we would be accruing interest on that as well.
Got it. No, but I, so, okay, so I mean, I can reconcile a lower yields for FY21. Okay, but what I'm referring to is the FY20 yields is 23.3, wherein my disbursement yield is almost 100 basis point higher than last year. So I'm just wondering, you know, in FY21, we have done a price hike, or how is it, or is there is a mathematical thing which maybe we can discuss offline?
Yeah, so that would be a reconciliation, Renish. Maybe I can discuss with you offline. It will not be straight. So there's multiple impacts of last year's NPS on what would have been reversed, etc., and different kind of products we were offering.
But at the net net, we did not increase anything substantially on the inclusive finance segment. But however, there was an increase which we did in affordable home loan and secured business loan compared to FY20.
Got it. Okay. And sir, last question from my side to Bhaskar sir. So, sir, you know, the whole concept of this JLG, you know, has been shaken up over last 1.5 years when, you know, because of the social distancing measure and all. So, I'm assuming the center attendance would be at lowest level, you know, even after the moratorium ends, maybe second half of 21. And then again in 22, maybe for next couple of months, we'll see the less than 50% of the attendance. So, this true concept of JLG, I mean, it's still there, or you see some dent there? I mean, though collection and everything might improve, but do you foresee a structural change the way JLG used to work, or how is it? I mean, what is your take over last 1.5 years?
I think we got the first glimpse of it during even demon. So the JLG works in terms of, you know, one installment, two installments where the customer is not paying, and the industry was also kind of reconciled to that model, where you go to a center, you will collect 100% installment. If a customer, a particular customer were not to pay, the rest of the members will pitch in and pay the money, and you will collect 100% from the center. And then there will be reconciliation between them during that period after the repayment is done. So if the customer who has not paid will go and kind of give the money to the customer who has paid on our behalf, or customers who paid on our behalf. That when the post-demon, we saw that kind of not really kind of happening the way it used to be. It came in, you kind of use a group model for primarily efficiency in terms of disbursement and efficiency in terms of collection and a social networking. Beyond that, the concept in terms of customers pitching in for a customer who is not able to pay drifted out even during demon. And in COVID, it probably was much more pronounced and substantial. So increasingly, I think the right, what we need to really know and understand, customers also do graduate. They will enter probably through the, to create a credit culture, they enter through the JLG model. And post that, as their requirements become diverse, somebody requires a business loan of 1 lakh, somebody doesn't require anything more than JLG loan, the ability of the institutions to dovetail to their requirements and kind of, you know, grow in the journey becomes an extremely important one, both from an opportunity point of view as well as from a risk management point of view. There will be a need now for institutions to understand the customer more as an one-to-one through profiling than purely be depending only as a customer relationship number and repayment measured only as a repayment of the entire group. I think that structural change will certainly happen, and whether it will happen in the next quarter or whether it will happen in the next 3 quarters is the only question. But certainly that structural change is ought to happen.
So basically, I mean, it is fair to assume that eventually the JLG model will shift to either individual loan or maybe a small enterprise loan category. Maybe the collection still can happen in the group, but maybe the underwriting methodology might change from JLG to individual loan.
Yes, may happen. Not that it will not kind of, the JLG will go off. It will still be used as a customer acquisition strategy, customer coming in and getting used to kind of the repayment for the first one cycle and second cycle. But what the trend may be is not, you will not probably see customers in the JLG for 5 years and 6 years and 7 years. That trend may kind of not go off.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Bhaskar. Thank you. That is from my side.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Janish for closing comments.
Thank you, Aisha. Thank you, everyone on this call, to attend this call. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Suryoday Small Finance Bank, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.